And if I hadn't said it yet, happy Father's Day, as we do. And the kids can go to class with Army and Caitlin and stuff as they have their class. So one of the things that we have been doing over the last week, I guess it's just been a week that we started it and stuff, but we've been looking at what leadership and strength is. And taking in particular one particular verse of 1 Corinthians 16, 13. And we're going to look at it over the next couple weeks still as we do. And last week we looked at the first phrase of be on the alert and what that means for us. And the rest of the verse says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong and stuff. So today we're going to be looking at the particular phrase, stand firm in the faith. What does that mean for us to stand firm in the faith, especially as dads? As how do we do this as an example for our family to lead and direct them? You know, if you've been watching anything in the news over this past week or so, you've seen some examples of what has taken place when others in what we'll say more prominent positions have stood firm in their faith, particularly in the baseball players, where they were the teams were promoting their pride night and changed the uniforms, and a couple of them wrote on their hats Bible words, verses, and stuff, and got called out for it and were put on report. They were advised, but don't do this again and stuff. But they stood firm for what they believed, to stand up and say, well, you can believe that, but this is what I believe. Have to be able to stand firm in the things of life, of what we know to be true, instead of just being swept along by the culture. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about one of the places of what took place with the kings that were in Israel. And one king in particular, Amnon, I think is the way you pronounce his, it said he was, I think, 21 when he became king and served 2 years as king, and then did the evil things that his father had done before him. The king before him did evil, didn't follow the Lord, and stuff. And when he died, Israel made his son, Josiah, king. And he was only 8 years old. But he followed the way of his father, David, to stand for God and brought about a change in the nation because of what he stood for in the faith. How do we take these things as the things of faith for us to be able to stand and make a difference? And that's one of the things I love about Family Research Council. Their app that we're using is called Stand Firm. What are we standing firm for? We can stand firm for a lot of different things. I like a particular baseball team. That's my firm. I'm not moving from that. Or that I'm going to do this, or I like that type of car or something. I'm not changing from this. I've always driven X brand. Or we stand for a lot of different things that really don't matter. Are we being standing? So what I've done is I've asked four different men to come and join me at the table and stuff. So if you guys want to come and join and grab a seat and that's good. Come and join means now and stuff. But I might ask you to help up the steps and make sure the others.
My wife, that's the last comment. You know how helpful wives are. She said, "Whatever you do, don't fall down and up those steps."
Stuff. So away from the edge is what he's doing. That's what you. Oh, thank you, Army. You come, Gibby.
Where you sit, Patrick?
I'm going to sit right here. Please grab. Have a seat. Don't fall. Okay, thank you. Gracious. So let me get these turned on here. So they're ready for when I need to speak. And I am going to... I got it right here. There it goes. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you guys to be sure to sort of speak as much as you can one at a time so that everybody can hear and what you're saying instead of talking over each other. But use a microphone when you do and stuff so it can be heard in the audience as well as online or streaming and stuff. But once again, we're looking at that, what it means to stand firm. And I don't know if somebody would like to go first, and Tom, I'll defer to you if you'd like to be in the oldest. Well, of what?
Am I the oldest?
You're the oldest. You're it's the oldest. A circle. And stuff about where you found in life what it means to stand firm for you.
That's good. Well, when you called me up, Steve, and you told me about this. And
you're not using the microphone.
Oh, that's right. And you told me all about this, and the first thing I thought of, well, I'm going to prepare this whole passage here, not knowing that you really meant we're going to pick out one little section of it, as you're actually telling them.
Understanding. The wow.
Yeah. But anyway, probably if I was going to talk about standing firm in the faith, is one thing we want to always remember is not allow Satan to move us away from Christ into the world. I think often about people who, in the church even, and especially in the church, I might say, who are walking and with one foot in Christianity and another foot in the world. And I'm going to tell you, that's a sure path for destruction. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. Linda and I went through probably our most difficult time. I'm getting toward where you want me to be. When we lost our son, that was last month, was 30 years ago that Scotty passed away. And yes, it still hurts, but I remember how during that time that neither one of us ever blamed God. We understood that that's the way life is, that there are circumstances in life that we can do nothing about. And through that, we were able to keep moving forward. I also remember praying. And this may seem odd, but I remember praying and thanking God for his son, that he was willing to sacrifice his son, that my son might have the opportunity to get into heaven. Scotty, he was a Christian. He was studying in the ministry when he got leukemia. And he went through the remission. It's a long story. A long story short, God is good. He brought us through it. I wouldn't wish it on anyone else. It's a very difficult thing to go through, but our God is a God of love. And I just thought about how he brought us through it and how some people fold, but we, because of our faith, were able to stand firm and allow God to work in our lives and lead and guide us and keep us going from there.
Thank you, Tom, for sharing that. Was there one particular thing through that time that helped you to remain faithful and stand firm?
Yeah, I think mainly it was always being in the Word.
Okay.
I've been a Christian since I was 35, so that's a few years. Almost 50 years now.
Three or four.
Yeah, almost 50 years. And I've always read I read the Bible before I was saved. I read clear through the Bible. I've always read the Bible. But the Word of God has always kept me, I think, grounded, that knowing that I'm not in charge, I don't know everything, if you will, that we have a God who loves us and shows us the way. And my advice is to anyone,
read God's word, pray constantly, and keep your eyes on Christ.
All right, thank you. I'll open up to whoever would like to go next to share something. It's on.
Oh, it's on?
It's on.
Yeah, what Tom was saying is, what I get from it is that, yeah, stay in the word. And you know, when I pray, Tom, I pray about everything. Even it's like just, and the reason why I do that is that communication in with God. Always, and that always keeps me there. Yeah, staying connected with God in prayer and in everything. So you pray about everything, you get answers, right? And that's why I'm like, okay, I'm praying about this particular circumstance, and whether it's good or bad, or you're just looking for an answer, it just reveals to me. I see it, and the way I see it is when I read scripture, it's the wisdom that comes out of that scripture,
right?
And you put it in, don't put it in your mind, put it in your heart.
Yes, amen.
And those answers will come to you in prayer. And you can ask my wife, everything is, all of our prayers are answered, even the little ones all the way to, and it's like incredible. It is.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. And that's why we continue that our relationship with Christ is you don't know the answer. And it could be a totally different answer, and it could be there's lots of roadblocks too.
Sure.
And you don't think of a roadblock if you're praying for something, but it appears all the time. I mean, not all the time, but most of the time it's good, and those are the good things, you know.
I can't sleep a lot, so I'm. I usually am laying down by 8 o'clock, and I'll sleep like a half hour to max 2 hours at a time. I haven't slept more than 2 hours at a time probably in 20 years, it seems like. But have you ever noticed, and so during the night is when I pray a lot. Of course, we should be praying all the time, and that's my nature, but I pray for everyone in the church every night almost, because there's nothing else to do, first of all, and you know God's there, that he loves us, but I want everyone to understand how much God loves them. But have you noticed now that sometimes we pray, and when our prayers are answered, we're astounded, when we should be just, we're believing people, yet we get, wow, God answered that prayer, and we should be praying expectantly.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I get up, like you, Tom, in the morning, and I get up in the morning quietly, and I'm thinking, I think about some of these issues. Wow, I never thought of it that way. And it's just and I know it's God speaking to me. I know it is. And it's just giving me an idea to look at it in a different way. And it's created another avenue to look at some of these, you know, decisions you have to make.
Right.
And not just one time. I mean, it's like a lot. And sometimes and you ask my wife, I said, I have an idea. And she'll like, oh, where'd that come from? I've been praying. But you know,
opportunity.
My wife tells me not to pray for opportunity anymore.
She went back to work
because she's so busy.
I could be more specific and don't
want to be. Last time we prayed for opportunity, she had to go back to work. That's what happened. Exactly the same day or two later or something.
Back to work. And give me an opportunity to catch up with some of the honeydews around the house too. So when she's still working, she's only got a few more days to go. But our house is done. There's nothing lacking, and you know, maintenance wise. So
Al, where have you found your life change from 10 years ago to now, and where you stand and standing firm in the faith?
The difference would be number one, there's zero stress in my life. Zero.
Wow.
And I find more peace and joy than I did 10 years ago, every day. Because you have a relationship with God, and that's going to keep you, your heart filled with love, peace, and joy every day. So that takes the stress out of everyday living, and that's what that's been doing for me. Also brings you people closer to you. They look at you as your identity, and you get the, you know, people are drawn to you in a different way, you know. But I'll tell you that, I'll back with Tom with the prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer works, but it works better with scripture.
It does.
It does. Yeah. You put those two together, there ain't nothing you and God can't do.
And prayer also keeps Satan at bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pray
without ceasing.
Yeah. Pray. That's true. The scripture is true. Pray about everything. No matter. Just pray. If it's hot, pray. Thank you, God, for this heat. Because the farmers are really enjoying this heat for their crops. That's the good thing. And this, especially in the valley here. Pray for rain.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Gary. Seeing as though it's Father's Day, I'm going to try to come off that topic just a little bit. For my daughter and my stepdaughters, one main thing that I have forever told them was that in their life, they're going to be faced with millions of decisions and considerations and thoughts. And out of everything, there's only one thing that's more important than anything else, and that is to get your soul to heaven. Nobody can do it for you. As their father or stepfather, I could help them. I can kind of show them the path. But when it really boils down to it, it is their choice. God gave all of us a little thing called free will. That's kind of pesky sometimes, that you kind of wish that he would just take over and his will be your will, but it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. They don't always follow the path that you would choose for them. But as long as you have a Christian household, the best you can do is hope that they'll pick up some of it and take it through the rest of their lives with them. Another area that I use to keep strong in the faith is I try as hard as I can to pass the word to people I know, people I don't know. One thing I do is I wear this hat all the time. And this hat is an icebreaker, like you don't know.
Yeah.
I've had people at Walmart, at grocery stores, everywhere you can think of, say, hey, how come you wear that? Or, hey, I like your hat. Or, you know, were you trying to preach to everybody? Yeah. I hear all kinds of different things. And it opens the door for me to be able to say, it's given me peace in my life. It's given me comfort. It's given me a path forward. It's given me guidance. I found out a couple of years ago that I've got leukemia. And my days are numbered. It's the kind that there's no cure for. But because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did for us on that cross, that wonderful day, he's given me a path that I don't fear death.
Yes,
I was talking to Christian a couple of weeks ago, and he wasn't aware of my health. I explained to him what was going on, and I think I kind of blew him away when I told him that I was looking forward to death, because I do. It's, and the pastor's had a little word with me about that, too. Why do I want to stay here when I've got paradise waiting for me? A place that I can't even fathom. It is so wonderful. But like the pastor said, there's a reason I'm still here. And it's because of that. I'm to pass the word. I'm to guide my friends, guide people I don't know.
Disciple others.
To help, to help others the best that I possibly can. Now, I don't always do the perfect way, but at least I'm trying. You know, and the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean that you're to be on your hands and knees with your hands like this 24/7. That is part of it. Reading the Bible is part of it. But it's also doing the right thing throughout the day, doing what God would want you to do, making his glory shine through you. As long as you do that, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, amen. You know, can I say something about...
You've got the microphone, sir.
You know how I am.
Yeah. You have to put a microphone. You take it out of Tino's hand, is that what it is?
I'm ready, and it's Lexi and it's right there. I'm losing my concentration. I'm getting what I'm going to say here. But praying without ceasing. Sometimes we forget what God wants to do in our lives, and we are trying to lead our lives in such a way to impress God that we forget that in reality we need to be a follower. When we pray without ceasing, it's like you said, it's an attitude. That prayer without ceasing is an attitude toward God, and to allow him to lead you. And we want to remember in prayer is not all talk.
Right.
I would say if you listen 90% of the time and talk 10% of the time when you pray, you'll be better off.
Right.
Hello, everybody. My name's Tino. I'm his younger brother.
The younger one.
A lot younger? I've been coming here 15 years now. That's my mom passed, and my kids were little, and my son back there, that's Christian. He's back in the back there. He's the one that saved my life right there.
Wonderfully done, man.
Back there, that gentleman right there. 5 years ago, he picked up the Bible, blew his mind. He told me, and he gave his first sermon. Remember that?
Yeah.
He gave his first sermon at the fireworks booth we did over there, and for the Big Five. And from then on, he's been a man of Christ. From then on, he's brought me closer to Christ by him, through him. So I owe him my life.
That's a wonderful thing to say.
It is. That's him right away. I got another son. He's in, where's he at? He's in San Luis at military camp. And he usually runs the booth back there. And Christian's back there running it this time. But, both my boys, great young men right now. You know them both.
You're a lucky man.
I am. I am lucky. And, very blessed to have two boys in this church learning the faith. And I got to be that father. Father's Day, I got to be that dad to guide them through this and through life at the same time. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I think they're on the right track. Because I get praises from Tom and Steve about the boys. And if I'm getting it from them, then things are good. And you too, you guys too. Man, it's great. But like Albert says, you know, pray. I get up in the morning, first thing I do is I pray, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to be on this earth again and to be with my family. I get up and do my business. And I don't stop there. I don't say amen. I just keep going because I always keep an open dialogue throughout the day with Christ. And I just keep talking. When I'm in the shop working, I just keep talking. Because I'm in there by myself, so I have to talk to somebody. So I'm talking to him all day and praising him and him guiding me. And a lot of the times, it's more of a slap on the back of the head. You're doing it wrong. Follow my path. So, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. It's been a great Father's Day today. I'm blessed to be here with this family and
wonderful breakfast.
And wonderful
thank you,
breakfast.
Ladies.
Thanks, yeah. Ladies. And that's it for now.
Okay.
It's been a great day.
You know, as we look at that phrase of that verse, stand firm in the faith, you know, we see several different aspects of it. The first is to stand. You know, what does it mean to stand with something? Yes, we look at Psalms chapter 1, it talks about to not stand with sinners, not to walk with them, not to sit down with them and stuff. So when we stand with something, it means something. Because what it talks about in Scripture there is that when I'm standing, I'm giving assent to. I'm saying, this is okay. I'm standing here with you and stuff. So what does it mean to stand? What do we stand for? In the verse there, it says, stand firm in the faith. So it matters. There are different things that we can stand. Sometimes we can stand in the way. You know, in our kitchen, we have that a lot of times. You're in my way. and stuff in there. But that's not the type of standing in the way that we're talking about, right? We can stand in the way of something taking place that should be taking place. Sometimes, even unawares, we can stand in the way of God doing a work in something. Have you found that in your life? What's an example of that you've seen or experienced that in your own life?
With me, it's standing for your faith. It's compromising. To be strong in your faith, stand up and if it's, and I've always had done this, and if it's wrong, make it right. If you compromise something, you're compromising your faith. To me, that hurts your spirit. That hurts the Holy Spirit. You know, especially you have the Holy Spirit and you say, like some of you mentioned, luck. There is luck. I don't believe in luck.
Yeah, we talked about that all that. Yeah.
You know, I tell people there's no such thing as luck. You know, my sister wants some money at the casino. And she says, you know, I just got lucky. And me and my wife said, we shook our head. No, God gave you a blessing. And
where did that blessing go to? It carried over to the church.
Exactly. She made a donation.
She made a huge donation to the church.
So that was a blessing, not luck. So if you put your faith in luck, you're not going to go anywhere. Or you put your faith in a belief in something other than God, that you're not standing strong with your faith. And I'm a firm believer. You know, you guys, my wife, I don't believe in walking under a ladder.
Black cat,
whatever. That's superstition, garbage. Not me. It's not for me. And I believe in God. And whatever God in the scriptures, that's me. But other than that, no. So that's me standing strong in my faith.
Okay.
I'm currently going through some trials in my life. The Bible says that when God loves you, he'll test you. And the more he loves you, the more he'll test you. Sometimes you wish he'd love you a little bit less. But that's okay, too. What I have learned is that, without a doubt, that the stronger you can stay in prayer, in your faith, in the strength of what Jesus did for you, that the trials don't mean as much. They're not as hard to handle. They fall away a lot easier. You can hand the problem to God and literally let it go, because you know without a doubt that he's got it. They're in his hands, not yours.
You guys, you want to comment on that at all?
It's just
Thank you.
Well,
I'll come.
Okay. All right.
You know, I was thinking, Gary, when you said about your hat, I'm glad you brought that and showed that just now. I wear a military hat almost every day, and on my hat I have a cross. And that is part of standing firm.
It is?
Yes. To allow yourself to be known as a Christian. There's so many people hide the fact that they're Christians. I remember a pastor's wife one time told me she doesn't tell anybody that she's a pastor's wife, because she didn't want them to be asking her questions all the time. And I thought how sad that was. That was so sad.
It should be the opposite.
Right.
She, with the knowledge that she, I'm sure she
right.
has,
yeah.
she should be the one that stands up and pursues that.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know Tino was saved right when he was in the church and now, but when I was saved, I had a lot of friends that were out in the world. And the first thing I noticed is how they drifted away from me when I was saved. And shortly after, I would say within a month, I never seen them again. I never even had today, knowing what I know about Christ and how he worked in my life, I would have sought him out.
So the Bible says that God brings people into your life and takes people out of your life.
Right.
And those that will harm you, he removes.
And in those days, it was a good thing for me. But my point is that where I'm at today, I would be seeking them out to tell them what Christ has done for me. But I really appreciate you bringing that hat there. But in the same way, mine's a military hat, and I get a lot of comments, you know, thank you for your service and all that.
They probably think you're a chaplain.
and yes, I was going to say that. And they even say, I see you're a chaplain. You was a chaplain in the Air Force. And I tell them, no, but that I'm a Christian, and I'm serving Jesus, you know. So, that doing that is a good thing. I like that.
I know one of the things that about Stand Firm is an example just out of here in our own churchyard. It's been 2 years ago we planted a tree in memory of Cheryl, and it's small. And Stephan, I know you guys were the ones that noticed it several months ago that the strap had broken or something, that was the pole that was standing beside it had broken, and it was the wind was blowing and it was leaning over and gonna break. So we put in some bigger posts, steady that tree. And sometimes while we're growing as Christians, while we're young in the faith and stuff, we need something else that's firm to hold us up, to keep us steady, until we can stand on our own and stuff to be able to face those things.
As a young Christian, you need other people around you, especially men. Mm-hmm. Men need other men around them to help them and direct them and tell them when they're doing wrong. Some people don't even know they're doing wrong.
We're a little hard-headed and stubborn sometimes.
Oh, not me. Ask my wife.
Map? Well, who needs a map? I don't need a map.
Well, I'm going to go off of what Tom just mentioned right now about what you guys just said about being strong in the faith. Your bad habits start to fall away. You don't even know about it. And they just go away. And here I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. What happens when you become in Christ? All that stuff falls away. And you don't think about it no more. It's like, you don't know, it's gone. It just falls away. It's brought me closer to my brother.
Also,
a lot closer.
You guys are close.
We're a lot closer than we were before. Ten years ago, we were a lot closer.
You get rid of that, what he just said, when you get rid of that, something takes its place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's not an empty hole. Something fills that void that you got rid of. You got foul language or a bad habit or something. You just say, I'm done with that, and you move on, and then something else takes that place. No matter what your scripture, it could be some peace in your mind. And that's what's happening is God, you're getting closer to God.
Fulfillment in your heart.
Yeah, you're.
You can feel it. It's a tangible.
And that's part of your relationship. I mean, you're getting closer and closer. So pretty soon you're getting rid of all your bad habits. You're living in Christ, and next thing you know, God's speaking to you.
We all fail.
The whole time you're failing, but you're also
right.
Yeah.
And in that failure is the opportunity to grow and to see yourself, see that reflection in the mirror of who I really am, who do I really want to be.
Right.
Do I want to be do I want to be that worldly person, or do I want to reflect Christ?
Right. That's right. Yeah, don't talk to me about opportunity. My wife's upset about that.
You know, thinking about that of where we stand and what we stand in matters. That next step in that is to pick where we're going to stand. And scriptures talk about it is one of the ways it says is stand in a holy place. How do we make that decision? What do we have to do for ourselves as well as our families to be able to lead them to a holy place and stand in that holy place ourselves. How do you work that out?
Give us an example.
Well, where are you?
What are you doing?
To be standing in that holy place to lead your family to be in that place. In other words, how are you doing that? What example are you giving? How are you leading them?
What I'm doing, and I do this every day, it's wisdom from the Bible. Me and my wife have read the Bible a couple times through, and then we're going over it again. And every time I come to a book or a scripture, we go over and like, oh, that's what that means, and we get more wisdom. And to me, the wisdom that stands out from us, and me and my wife, that draws other people. You know, I'll give you an example. My nephew, Caleb. I'm working with him, and I've been giving him gold nuggets. And I don't know if you guys don't know what that means, but he knows what a gold nugget is. And then I give him scriptures, and then I tell him what they mean. And he can tell you. And a lot of those are from Proverbs. They come from Proverbs. And I tried to make it clear to them. And I told them one time, read this every day for the rest of your life. And it's going to make you a better man. And I tell him that. I hope he's still reading it. And he's shaking his head, he is.
Okay. Good.
And believe me. And I know it's working. He's right there.
Yeah.
That's how it started. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly if how he didn't read Proverbs, he probably wouldn't sit there. That he'd be somewhere here. Else. But he makes his way back to church. And it's not me. It's God speaking to me to relay that to him.
I've been seeing things. Too, leading his little brother better. Yeah. And stuff and working with him and being that example for his little brother. So it carries on.
You really see that? I see it the other way around. I see the little brother leading you.
You know, that's why that's why it's important to be in church.
Yes.
So often, I've relayed this to probably all of you at one time or another. There's been many Sundays where I'm not able to come to church, but I come anyway. I don't want to. I'm hurting, but I get up and go anyway. I cannot tell you how many times, which is every time I come in that condition, when I go home, I'm 100%. I feel good then. And that's an example of what we need to be toward other people. Don't stay home because you got a friend coming over. Don't stay home because the ball game's on. Don't stay home because of this or that. What's important in your life today? What's important? Is it the world or is it Jesus Christ and Him glorified?
A God person in your life.
My daughter lives up above San Francisco, and I don't get to see her very often. She comes down a couple times a year, and she's always in a hurry to get back. Every time we talk on the phone, every time I see her, I always, without fail, bring up God. Explain to her again about the most important thing she's ever going to choose in her life, that there's only one way. And this last time she came down just a couple weeks ago to help in my house, she actually spent 2 days there, which is really rare. And for 2 days, we talked about Jesus and went over the Bible. And she actually started asking me questions, which to me was really big. It was very encouraging for me. When she left, I had the feeling that maybe she was more open than she had been in some time. The only reason that's possible is because standing strong in your faith, just relentless. Don't stop. No matter if you're afraid you're going to hurt their feelings, no matter if you think that they're going to get mad at you, it doesn't matter. You stand firm. You live by what you live by. You live by faith, and you live by trusting God, and you spread it. It's what God expects, especially us older men that have families. That is our job, is to teach the younger people and show them the right way to travel.
You want to reflect Jesus.
Yes, yes, to reflect what Jesus would want you to.
He did say he was going to divide the family, father against son.
And look at this, look at the communities now. Yeah. Look at, things are falling apart left and right. It's havoc out there. There's some cities that if you mention Jesus Christ, you get mugged.
Yeah.
And here in Porterville, we're lucky. We have a secure community here that as a rule, most people are Christians of some sort. Some are strong, some aren't. But in my opinion, the way my life is right now, in my health and everything, I'm searching out the weaker ones. I'm trying to find the people I know that don't really have a strong walk in God, that need more help than others. Speaking of one in particular, he claims to everybody that he has no filter on his mouth. And he's right. He's absolutely right. And in the last month and a half, I've seen a difference in him. The swear words have come way down. to a crawl, yeah. And he was explaining to me just a couple of days ago how he had done a big favor for somebody, and to anybody else it probably would have sounded like bragging, but to me it came across as what a Christian would do, how a Christian is supposed to live to help others. And I told him, I said, you know, you may not be open to this, but what I'm going to tell you is straight up the truth. What you just told me tells me you're a Christian, if you know it or not. And he goes, well, what do you mean by that? I said, because you're living like a Christian should live. You're helping others without expecting things in return. That's what a Christian does. And I told him, I said, the next step is for you to start going to church with me. And he said, you know, I might do that. I'm open to it. Which 6 months ago, that would have never been said. So. Yeah, made a joke out of it, but there would have been a lot of cuss words in there.
Yeah. Gary, you know, we run into people like that every day.
We do.
And
yes.
I just want to tell you about a short story here when you talk, and when you said cursing, you know, all the time. Lynn and I were at the shop one time, probably 25, 30 years ago, and I was telling Steve about this the other day, I think, but had a young man out there on the road in front of my shop. It was down there on Main Street, and he was hitchhiking, and he was yelling at every car and cursing my God through the whole thing. And I was sitting there, and as plain as day, God says, go out and give that man a ride. And I went into the office, inner office where Linda was. I said, God told me, go out and take that crazy guy to where he wants to go. And I said, I'm going to. And he wanted to go to Strathmore. And which was, you know, 5-6 miles away. And he didn't know he was going to get a ride over there from a man who was going to tell him about a little bit about Jesus at 20 miles an hour the whole way.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Now, I've led quite a few people to the Lord in my lifetime. Yeah. This man, I never got to it. But I was telling Steve the other day, he disappeared out of my life, and I found out he was murdered. But for what, the way he changed on those, probably with a year of this, going back and forth to Strathmore at 20 to 30 miles an hour, he began to change. And I truly believe I may see this man in heaven. And I hope.
I think I got behind you a couple times.
You're the tailgater.
Okay. Chris, I'm going to need your help, too. The clock on the back wall quit, so if we run out of time, you give me a high sign. Is it? Okay, we're getting close. and stuff. So one of the things Scripture talks about too is a place to stand is to. And what Scripture looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no. What are we called to do because we have a stand? Because we know Christ, and we've talked about our family and ourselves and maybe those few outside of our family, well, what about the land? To stand in the gap for the land for the wall, to rebuild the wall of righteousness that is for our country too, for those around us, not just those we know. But how do we do that? Have you thought about that? Do you do that? Where do we stand in the gap for God to be able to help rebuild the wall of righteousness for people everywhere? Any thoughts? There you go. That's one of the things. That's to be visible, right? To be visible, to speak, and not let something just pass us. What somebody says or responds way and just say, oh, well, you know, they're going to be upset with me. Like you said, you're going to be, you know, not going to like it. Now, if we say something and stand for Christ, we need to stand in the gap to fill in those places. And it was one of the ways it's talking about this is when the wall of Jerusalem had been knocked down and Nehemiah was one of the ones that was leading the process to rebuild the wall, and that each family worked near their home to rebuild the gap in the wall near them. And if they attacked you, everybody would come to help them where the attack was. So if we need to be that in our lives today, to stand in the gap where we know there's a gap, instead of just saying, well, look at that gap. You know, it's sort of like what we see in the trash around us today too. Oh man, somebody should do something about all the trash around. Instead, am I picking it up, or am I just noticing it? You know, am I doing something to be standing in the gap, to fill the wall, to build it up, and to repair those things instead of just complaining about it and noticing it? You know, God doesn't call us to be us just noticers of things that need to be repaired, but to be that one who goes out and to rebuild the wall of righteousness around us. So think about that as for all of us as we go today. What can you do to rebuild the wall in your family, in our community, in the nation, to stand for righteousness in the things of what God calls us to be, instead of just being a noticer and a complainer? And stuff to do. We need to do that in our own, certainly, yes, with our own kids and stuff. And we've each got kids of different age groups and stuff, from the younger to adults and to well-grown adults and stuff that are there. And we've got those things in our lives that are part of what we live on and active. And people are watching. They're watching what we're doing. They're watching the things of how we react. Are we letting something in particular slide because somebody said something that was hurtful to somebody else or didn't honor God? Or are we just going, oh, that's just them? Or are we saying, that's not right? You know, let's stand for something, to stand firm in the faith. So if we may respond when somebody says something about our sports team. No, that's not. We do, and somebody says something about God. Well, that's not the way God works. That's not how He loves. That's not what, you know, and stuff. This is to do to rebuild those things. So, I encourage everyone. Thank you guys for being here today and giving up your time and your thoughts and stuff. Let's give them a hand for being up here today and stuff. So, let me have a word of prayer. Portion of the service, and you guys sit down and we'll close in song. So Father, we thank you for who you are and for how you call us to be men, in our own lives to follow you, as well as to lead others towards you, and to be strong in our faith, to stand in that firmness of what we believe because of your word and who you are. Help us to be better at that. No matter where we've been in the past, help us to be better than we were yesterday in standing firm and following you and being that example and showing others the way and showing your love. Father, we thank you for these men and their lives and the example that they have been. And even in the times when they've fallen short, as we all have, as well as when we've done well, Father, you are our example in those things, and you love us even in our failures. So, Father, we thank you for that love that is everlasting, and we can count on you, on who you are and your love. Help us to be more like you in all that we do, and we give your name praise today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.